You are listening to CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offutt Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner.
Hey, my name is Aida Keener. I'm president and CEO of Attruant, a full managed services company.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Reese, director of business development here at Offutt Kerman. And I have as my guest today, Aida Keener, president and CEO of Attruant. So Aida, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Tell us who you are, what's your role, and what your company does.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Attruant is a full managed services provider based in Millersville. We've been around for 10 years. And we provide a range of services in information technology, such as monitoring, help desk, security, cyber. We're not a full-blown cybersecurity company, but I believe that cyber nowadays has to be included in any kind of management of a network per se, because it starts with the monitoring and it starts with the prevention. It starts by being proactive. And if you can make sure that you limit the risk, when you take care of a particular client, whatever the industry is, the consequences of a breach will be probably less.
Tell us, what was your journey like to get where you are today?
It was an interesting one. The reason why I say it's an interesting one is because I spent 17 years in France, Lyon, that's where I was born. Then I moved to North Africa in Tunisia for 14. After I graduated from my master, I worked for a petroleum company for about 6 years as an IT director. And then I followed my ex-husband in the country back in 2000. And marriage didn't last very long, but that's probably a story for another day. But essentially, I had to find an H-1B company that would sponsor my work visa. And in doing so, even before 9/11, it was extremely difficult to be an H-1B holder. And once I was able to have a company who would sponsor my visa, which I had to actually make a deal to essentially offer my services for free, because nobody wanted to do it. And I worked for the first sponsor for 4 years. And then a very good client of mine at the time fired that company, got me hired to another company in DC, was there for about 4 years. And back in 2009, I started Attruant. And the reason why I started Attruant back in 2009 was, I wouldn't say it was a mistake, it was probably an accident, because I wasn't planning on starting a company. My husband essentially gave me the idea of the last company I was working for. I wanted to buy the division that I created. I created a brand new IT division. Didn't work out. We couldn't make a deal and got fired. And when I went back to the job market, it was extremely difficult to find a job where people were essentially asking me to sign a non-compete, which was no problem on my end, but I had a book of clients that was ready to, that were ready to follow me wherever I would go, and I wanted those to be excluded from the non-compete list, and everybody refused, and I was coming home extremely frustrated. And my husband told me, I have no idea why you're going through this, you know, series of interviews. Why don't you just start your own? And my answer at the time was, I have no idea how to start a business. And he said, you've already done it, but it wasn't yours. So I was like, okay, you have a point. And basically went on Google, search, how do you start a company in Maryland? And the rest is history. 10 years later, here we are. It's been a very, very interesting, challenging, but fun journey.
And what is the origination of the company name Attruant?
That's a very good question, because usually nobody knows what a truant means. And I think that there is an American word for when you skip school that is almost similar to a truant. I forgot what the name is.
Truancy.
And everybody thought that that was a correlation to the name. And the name came about when I was working with a marketing company, and I was extremely adamant with the word trust, because I do believe that no relationship whatsoever can exist without trust. Whether it's professional, whether it's personal, you have to have the trust in there. Nobody's going to give you, here's my data, here's my network, if there is no trust. And so essentially a truant means a trustworthy enterprise. So a few letters of each word.
Great. Tell me about the structure of your company.
I'm business development, I'm sales, I'm operations, I wear a lot of hats, but my biggest hat and my biggest responsibility is essentially to support the rest of the team. So we have, it's essentially technicians, network engineers, and there is only two admin people, and the rest are technical, because, you know, that's what we do. We do information technology.
So here we are today, been in business for a while. It's somewhat of a crowded space suppliers who supply the service that you do. Tell us what's special about you or what your company does.
Relationship. And I'm sure that a lot of people say the same thing, but the reason why I say relationship is because I always started every single one of the business relationship that I have with friendship. And I always tell the story. I think that my biggest testimony is, first of all, most of the clients that I serviced back in 2000 are still with me today. Probably 80 to 85% of them. I married one of them. I always say I have so many great relationships with my client that I happen to marry one of them. I don't marry them all, but I married one. And he's been a great supporter of mine throughout my career since I've been in the U.S. But what makes it a little bit different is we listen a lot, because you can't service a client if you don't understand what their pain and challenges are. It's not about the sales aspect of it, like you were mentioning yesterday. It's about sales comes all the way to the end, and it might be a year from now. If you don't understand where they're coming from, if you don't understand what are they doing, where are they going, what's their growth like, what are they planning to do to get there, do they even have a budget in place, what are the technology challenges that they're facing today? So essentially, there is a lot of companies out there that provide virtual CIO services. You know, I provide the virtual CIO services right from the get-go, because I can't provide a proposal or tell them this is what I'm going to do to help you and get you there if I don't understand what they do and how they do it. And it might be even a question of starting to re-engineer the processes first. Because, you know, technology is just a tool. It's a mean to an end. If you don't understand what is it that you're trying to accomplish and how, no matter what the industry is, it's kind of a moot point. But so that's kind of what makes it a bit different. And the second thing is, there is not a lot of women out there that do what we do. I have never understood why information technology in the U.S. is such a male-dominant industry, because actually where I'm coming from was quite the opposite. And I'm trying to encourage women to actually come into this field, because it's challenging, it's interesting, it gets your brain running 360 an hour all the time, and you're learning every day. Gosh, I learn from my team every single day, because I certainly do not. Even though I have 20 years of experience, I don't know it all. Sometimes they actually blow me away by telling me, have you tried it this way? And, of course, I have wonderful, wonderful team members that are essentially make the workday not a work day. Our clients love, absolutely love everybody in the office. I always tell people, especially when I meet with new prospects, when they ask me, you know, what is it that you look for? And I actually reversed the question and I said, it's not necessarily what I look for. The question that I always ask is, are you in love with your IT partner? And I don't say IT vendor on purpose because it's a partnership. So essentially, if the answer is, they're okay, then we should talk because I want you to be in love with your IT partner. And if you are in love with your IT partners, they're absolutely where you are. They're doing everything that you know they need to do for you. Even a second pair of eyes sometimes is necessary because you don't know what you don't know. But essentially, that's kind of who we are as a whole.
So you've talked about trust, you've talked about relationship, you talked about your clients, and you just talked about your staff for a little bit. So what is it about your company that makes you proud, and what is it about your company that allows you to recruit and retain your great staff?
Transparency. It doesn't matter if they're millennials or what is the other one called, the X generation, Gen X. It doesn't really matter what the background is. I find that I like to be treated the same way I treat people and vice versa. It all goes back to transparency and trustworthiness and being honest with yourself. Everybody makes mistakes, you know. God knows that I make mistakes. And so essentially the people that are surrounding me right now that makes me look good, essentially, is the fact that when they make mistake, they tell me, I've made a mistake, how do I fix it? And I'll be in the trench with them, helping them fix the mistake. Of course, you know, if the mistake repeats over and over again, that's an issue, but most of the time, they take accountability of what they do. And it's all about the passion. So I think that because I'm so passionate about what I do, I'm so passionate about this company, I'm so passionate about my clients, and, you know, I've been doing IT for a long time, is it kind of flows within the company and everybody gets the bug of the passion and the bug of the transparency and the communication. So I guess you should probably ask them why do they like it so much. But I could probably say that transparency is probably the biggest one.
How do you see your company changing in the next couple of years? And how do you see yourself creating or leading that change?
It's very hard to predict where technology is going to take us. I mean, look at where we are 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. If I remember in my early career when I had to transform an entire network from DOS to Windows when NT just came out and Windows 3.1 just came out. That was a big deal back then. Then, you know, Y2K came up and everybody thought that the world was going to end. Was also a big deal. And now, of course, you know, the big buzzword 10 years ago or 5 years ago was the cloud, which everybody's adopting now, 90% of the people. Then you have IoT. So you have so many moving pieces that you have to keep up with. So it's really hard to predict where you're going to go. I still see cyber being a big deal because that's never going to go away. Hackers are getting slicker every day, and we have to be on the proactive side, even slicker than where they are, which is really, really tough to do. So I probably see that we're going to put more effort into the cyber world and trying to also attract more women into this field, which I'm extremely passionate about. I know you had a question before about what you have done to help out, you know, in philanthropy, et cetera. So 2 years ago, I volunteered to Western High School, which is a girls' school in Baltimore, and I volunteered my time to help those young ladies getting into the technology field and what does it look like, why choose that field, because some of them were already in a Cisco club. And some of them actually came and interned for us for the summers, and a couple of them actually are pursuing a career in IT now. I was talking last week to somebody from Loyola who is interested in getting me into some program to actually help in that area too. So if somebody could answer that question, tell me why there is not a lot of women doing this, I would love to know the answer.
What do you see, looking into your crystal ball, what do you see as the greatest opportunities for you and your firm in the next couple of years?
I don't think I can pinpoint one, really. Because not like a lot of other managed services provider, IT companies in general that specialize in one particular vertical, we don't really have a particular vertical that we just specialize in. We kind of, like, if I take the example of mental health facilities where HIPAA compliance needs to be obeyed by. So we help them there just to make sure that they're compliant, and we have policies and procedures in place to make sure that that happens. Then you have other people on the financial side that have to obey by PCI compliance, et cetera, et cetera. So biggest opportunity is essentially continuing doing what I've been doing so far and building those relationships, which, by the way, you guys have been helping a lot.
And how about biggest challenges?
Biggest challenges, finding good people, I think would probably be my biggest challenge. I'm very happy with the staff that I have right now. I mean, they are wonderful, but it's finding the new talent, the next good one that's gonna stay. Once I find them, I'm pretty confident that they would stay, but it's finding that talent that is extremely difficult. Because in IT, especially with what we do, is not just technical. You have to be able to utilize your left brain with your right brain. It's not just being in front of a computer and being a robot and doing what needs to be done. You have to talk to client, you have to be social. So having the technical skills and the social skills at the same time, that's what is difficult to find.
What does a typical day look like for you? Typical work day? How do you spend your time on a typical work day?
Every day is different. So there would be days where I am doing this, for example. There would be days where I'm in the middle of the help desk helping with tickets and installation and project. There would be day I would be basically creating proposals all day long. There would be days I would be calling clients and see how they're doing. So it's a combination of all of those things. There would be days where we do fun stuff in the office. We have a foosball table and we have the darts, and we talk a lot about a lot of different things, and it could be anything really. So I don't think that you could pinpoint it to a typical day.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned what I guess you could call a turning point when your husband said, why are you going to all these interviews? You could start this company yourself. And you said, but I don't know how to start a company. And you said, well, that's what you've been doing for everyone else. Besides that particular time in your life, and maybe that's the answer, but were there any other turning points or influences that helped shape your career other than that story that you shared with us?
My God, the list would be too long to name all the people that actually helped me along the way. I think that a lot of my friends heard me say multiple times over and over again that I've always been blessed to have had guardian angels that would appear out of nowhere in a very difficult time that would give me the answer that I was looking for. And it could be a friend, it could be a coworker, it could be an employer, it could be a client, and it was different every single time. But I learn a lot from other people, because that's how you shape your experience and what you want to do and how you're going to be and how you want to be treated and how you're going to be treating other people. But essentially, it would be extremely difficult to say or to just name one person. There was a lot of them.
Is there a famous person or infamous person you most admire?
Winston Churchill.
Can you tell us why?
Well, can you name anybody that could actually fight the Nazi with a cigar in his mouth? That man was absolutely brilliant, and I always said that I love dogs. So there used to be two mascots at the office, Miss Wrinkles, who passed 2 years ago, and Crystal now, who's 15, still is the mascot. And I always said to myself, when Crystal goes, I will have two bulldogs. And I already named them in my head. One would be Winston, the other one would be Churchill.
Excellent. What do most people not know about you?
I'm an open book. Everybody knows I love wine. Everybody knows I love food. Everybody knows I love to cook. People may not know that I actually draw and paint whenever I have the time. And I also love jigsaw puzzles. And the reason I love jigsaw puzzles so much is because it applies to my job. Essentially, especially when I do the CAO work with my clients, is I see a network like a jigsaw puzzle whenever I enter a room or a network room, and all those pieces in my mind is, how am I going to make them all fit together so that it worked at the end of the day? And putting the last piece is always the biggest accomplishment ever when everything works.
What do you like to do outside of work?
God, so many things. I mean, even though I covered them earlier, love wine. I mean, of course, I'm French, so I love good food. I love to cook. I love wine. I love to read. I love to go out. I love to travel with my husband in his plane, in the back. I don't go in front. I like traveling a lot. Being outdoors, being with my friends, you know, I'm sure that you probably noticed by now that I'm a very social person, so I like to be around people. Even though I have my days when I like to be by myself, but that doesn't happen very often.
This has been CEO Minutes, brought to you by Offit Kerman, attorneys at law, your perfect legal partner. For more information and to tell your entrepreneurial story, visit us on the web at ceominutes.com.